Blog Talk Radio.
Reading. Welcome to Agape Worldwide Prayer and Delivery Ministry on February 5th, 2021. This is your host, Pastor Ruth from North Carolina. We welcome you. We're giving praise and honor and glory to God for being here tonight to minister to the needs of the people, to expound on His Word, to reveal Christ unto His people, and to pray for people who may call in. And if you're calling in or have called in, click on 1. Put your hand up in the queue, and we can recognize your hand is there and minister to you or pray with you, however the Holy Spirit will lead. But we thank God tonight for being in the land of the living. In spite of what's going on, in spite of what's going on with us, we are still blessed, and we welcome each and every person tonight and those who may hear this recording later on, however the Lord may lead. We just ask you to continue to be encouraged and continue to know that God is on your side. No matter what we go through, He is still sitting on the throne. He's still there to meet our needs. He's still there where we can go to Him and pray and give us hope and, you know, and show His mercy unto us. So just be encouraged tonight, you know, and just bless the Lord at all time, and let His praise continue to be in your mouth. You know, just continue to thank Him and praise Him and glorify His name and worship Him and love on Him. Continue that the Bible tells us to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God. And then it tells us to give thanks for all things. You know, so we have to really thank Him instead of complaining, instead of murmuring, instead of crying, instead of saying, why me, why me, why me? You know, why not us? Because it's nothing that we have done so great, because He shows His love and His mercy and His grace. And He does show it to us in spite of what we have or have not done. You know, it is His love to us. So I just want to encourage each and every person tonight, you know, just you are blessed in spite of, and I am also in spite of. It does not mean that I'm not going through some things, but I'm going through to where I'm going to. You know, and I got my hopes built on nothing less but on Christ. You know, my hope is built on Him. My trust is in Him. You know, I trust in Him because I have no one else I can trust in like I trust in Him. So I just want to encourage each and every person, you know, God loves us. You know, His love is not human love, so His love is agape love, unconditional love. You know, it's because we're not what we are, you know, He doesn't love us because we are the best and the greatest and the most beautiful and most whatever. But He loves us because He is love. And when He's love, He can do nothing but love. So we just thank and praise Him tonight again and again for all that He has done and is going to do. And I just pray the blessing of God upon each and every person tonight, upon each and every household tonight, I pray. And even as I go in prayer tonight, but just give me God praise, glory, and honor just for who He is. And Lord, we just thank You tonight for Your love, Your kindness, Your mercy. We thank You, Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for how You look upon Your children, God, how, Lord, that You minister to our needs, God, how You supply our needs, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank You tonight, Father, because of You died, Father, You sent Your Son to die on the cross for us, Father. We thank You for that. We thank You, Lord God, for all that You've done. We thank You for your provision. We thank You for a roof over our head. We thank You for this ministry and all other ministries that represent Christ tonight. I pray for you. I lift you up. I ask God to bless you. I ask God to strengthen you. I ask God to, you know, give me more revelation, knowledge, give you an encounter with Him. I ask God to just signs and wonders follow, because the Word of God says signs and wonders shall follow believers. I pray that and speak it over your life right now. I speak the Word of God over the nation tonight. I ask God to come in and bring about deliverance. I ask God to come in and allow His Holy Spirit to come up over our land and our nations, over other places, in the name of Jesus. I ask God to save, deliver, set free, all the way from the White House, all the way down to every person. I pray for every person in authority on whatever level, whether it's on the higher level, whether it's on the city, the town, the country, wherever they are, I pray for them right now, because Scripture tells me to pray for all of those in authority so that we may live peaceful. I pray for them tonight, Father. I pray, Father God, against this coronavirus, Lord God, and all the other stuff. I pray against this hatred in the land, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray against the murdering spirit, Father God, in the city and in the countries, in the town, God. I pray also, God, against the killing, God, the hatred. I just pray, Father, against everything that's not of you tonight, God. I pull it down in the spirit realm. I take authority over it. I break his power right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, I pray, Father God, over the people that's in the hospital, from the nurses and the doctors all the way down to every person, the janitor, the others that do the cleaning, Father God. I pray, Father, your safety net be over them, Father, and protect them, Father. I pray you strengthen them, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, and give them the hope and desire, Father, in the name of Jesus, and protect them while they're trying to take care of people, Father. I pray for people in the nursing home, Father God. I pray for people in all the other facilities, Father, in the name of Jesus. I just lift them up to you, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Those who are discouraged, Father, I send forth the anointing of God. Lord, I have to lift them up in the spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. Those who have lost a loved one, God, I pray for them tonight. God, pray for all bereaved people, God, wherever they are, God, in this world tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Those who have lost children, Father, in the name of Jesus, however they have lost them, Father, I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Father, those who got missing children that have not seen them, God, I ask you, Father, to send the angels out to them, Father, and to bring them, Lord, home, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And I just pray, Father God, for people that, you know, have lost jobs and need jobs, that you would open up the door of a windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing, God. Guide them and lead them, Lord God, to where you would have them to be, in the name of Jesus. I pray for every church, Father God, that opened up in your name, God, and I pray for them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray for the one that's not, Lord God, I ask you to tear down the house of Satan right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And Lord, raise up leaders, the true leaders of God, Father, and whatever level they are, from the apostles all the way back down, Father God, to the church pew people, Father, to the nurses in the church, to the one in the choir, the nurses board, God, whomever, wherever they are, Father God, right now, Father, we tear our man's structure that has been built up in the church, God, but that does not allow the Holy Spirit to move, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we even tear down those who, Lord God, is not doing the work of the kingdom, Father, in the name of Jesus. They're establishing Satan's kingdom. They're not yours, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for them, Father God. I pray, Father God, for those who are in bondage tonight, God, whether it's on drugs, whether it's on alcohol, whether it's on sex, God, or whatever it is, God. Lord God, I send the warring angels and on their behalf right now in the name of Jesus. And I just ask you, Lord, to touch, to bless, Lord God, in the name of those who stand in need of a financial blessing tonight, God. Lord, I ask you to let it rain down from heaven, God, upon them, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And Lord, we just pray, God, in the name of Jesus, even for the White House, where they're trying to make a decision whether to give the people another stimulus check, Lord God. You know what you had meant and put in for to do, God. Lord God, we ask you to send angels to them, God, and cause them to do what needs to be done, Lord God, to help your people, Father God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because you are faithful in what you say, God. And I know that your people, the one that belong to you, you will watch out for us, God. I lift them up to you right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for all, Father God, other people, God. We lift them up to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we're going to give you the praise. We're going to give you the glory, and we're going to give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And, Lord, I do give you thanks tonight in all that you're doing. I ask you to strengthen me, Father, in the name of Jesus, to do what you have called me out to do. I ask you, Father, to continue to be with me in the name of Jesus, Lord God, because my desire is to fulfill my destiny. My desire is to please Christ. So I'm asking you, Lord God, to help me, Lord, to stay on the wall and don't come down. Help me to persevere. And, Lord, and just bless all of my family and all families, Father. Not just mine, but all family, Father. And even bless those spiritual truth and life that you have given unto me, Father God, the one known and unknown. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless them right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And God, we just want to speak healing and deliverance to people's body where the enemy is attacking, because you are the Lord, thy God, that's healing thee. And you said, by your stripes we are healed. So I speak that word of healing right now to every sick body. Everybody that the enemy is trying to attack right now, I come against him. I break his power right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to send forth the healing angel to bring healing and deliverance to their lives right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I ask you, Father God, right now, Lord, whatever is needed in their body, in their home, God, we ask you to provide for them. You have the provision, God. You have the people, God. And, Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. Right now, in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. So I just want to come before you tonight and bring the word, and if anyone should call in, and like I said, you put your hand up, click one, and I will open you up your mic up and pray with you, whatever you need him from the Lord, and believe with you for the Lord to do it, as is in his will. I will pray with you, and I will definitely stand with you and believe to see God to manifest what it is in the name of Jesus. But I'm going to be coming from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, where he's talking about the exhortation to follow Christ. A lot of times we want Christ to follow us. But Paul was encouraging the people to follow Christ. And even he was telling the people to follow as he followed Christ, follow him as he followed Christ. And so we got to learn how to follow Christ and follow him by his word and his instruction, because this is his manual for our living. And we're not to change it or to make it suit to fit us and how we want it to be done. We're told to follow after Christ. And his word is there for us to read it, study it, and apply it to our life. Not just read it and, just have a good time about it and try to change it around to tell him that, okay, you do what I say, dear Lord, I won't do this. We got to learn that we serve a holy God. We put the honor and respect him because he's holy. He's holy, and there's just some things you don't say, not only to him, even to his people. But the first verse says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed, are surrounded, are encircled by with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside, put off, let go, whatever terminology you want to use, every weight, that's any kind of thing that is abundant, that will become, where it's holding us back, whether it's a mindset, whether it's an activity, whether it's a hobby, or whether it's several jobs, or whatever it is, he said, lay aside every weight and the sin. So he's talking about weight and the sin. Which so does easily beset us. And basically what that word beset means, to encircle us, to plague us. And a lot of times we have things in our life that are plaguing us because it's what we want in our life and does not realize. But he said, lay all of those things aside. If it's a mindset, if it's an activity, if it's an action, whatever it is, the scripture tells us to lay aside every weight and sin, which is so easy to set up, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And race means a course of life that's full of toils and conflicts. But it's still telling us to run with patience, endurance, constancy, the race that is set before us. What I mean by set before, that's something that God has already placed or set before us. Our lives has already been designed and organized by Christ, every person's life. I don't care what step you go, what way you do, how you go. It does not come into play once you come into the world. It's already been set aside. I like to tell people, it's like a puzzle. And every piece of the puzzle is already in place. And when we walk into our life and walk into different places, whatever come or whatever go, it's already been set aside in that place. God has designed each and every person test, each and every person trial, whatever you go through, the mistakes you made, backsliding, whatever it is, God already knows. It's nothing that he does not know. It does not nothing that he does not see. He knows how long we're going to live. He knows when we're going to die. He knows whatever we're going to go through with. Everything. You know, we have to realize that and realize nothing is going to surprise him. I don't care if it's what you do, what I do, or what someone else do. It does not surprise him at all. And it said, the second verse said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith. He begins it and he ends it. He is the author of it. It comes from him, of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The cross meaning and is undergo suffering, trial, punishment, expose oneself to reproach or shame and death. He went through all of that. So whatever he went through was an example to us. We will experience the same thing. But he endured the cross. What he did, he bared upon it with patience. He didn't get out of it. He didn't pray out of it. He didn't jump out of it. He also despised the shame, the disgrace, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. A lot of times we go through things and we get shamed because we're going through them. We get shamed because of a mistake. But you know, like I said earlier, everything has already been planned and put in place. Everything. But you didn't do it because you were too good not to do it, because it wasn't a part of your plan. If it is, because the Bible says, man may devise his way, but God directs the steps. So everything is nothing that has already been set aside. He said, for consider him, my Jesus, that endured such contradiction, opposition. He went through a lot of opposition. A lot of times, you know, I'm not saying I like opposition. I'm not saying I like rejection. I like all this stuff, but it's a part of life that's going to happen. And I hear so many people complain about it. You know, and it doesn't make any sense. And why this happened to me? They must don't read the Bible. Because everything Jesus went through is a sample of what we're going to go through. Now, we may not go through a literal cross down on the cross. Some places they do. But figuratively, we will come to a place where we are fixed in that place and we can't do anything until Christ moves in our life. But that's killing the flesh, crucifying the flesh, dying to the flesh. And a lot of times what I've seen, he will not get you out of that position until you stop screaming, hollering, and complaining, you know, and murmuring, and going on about this, that, and other, because you're there. We all are there for a reason, for to crucify that flesh, and to come, when we come up out of whatever trial that is, we come out as a more of the Spirit of God than we do of the flesh. And we're able to follow him. We're able to, him to lead us. As long as flesh is in play, we will try to lead him, tell him what we want to go, tell him what we want to do. And that is the wrong thing to do. We are to follow him. And he says in 23rd Psalm, but he'll lead us in the green pasture. He didn't say that we'll lead him. He said, I'll lead you into green pasture. And a lot of times what happened to us, because the way that he's leading us to that green pasture doesn't seem right, doesn't seem there's no way we can get there that way, and that's when we're trying to think that we know more than what he knows, but he always tells us in his word, my ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. You know, so we cannot even comprehend the mindset of Christ. Anything we come up with cannot ever equal up to how he sees that. He's already had, designed the world, made the world, created all the people and everything else in it. And we have not even done any of that. But yet still, we sometimes think we're smarter than what Christ is. But it says, for consider him that endured such contradiction, like I said, I read that before, opposition of sinners against himself. The sinners came against him. And that now, like you see a lot of time, I see a lot, it's not the world people like that, but it's the believers coming against one another. But yet, see, they're not true believers. Because if it were true believers, we won't be trying to fight one another, come against one another. And against him said, lest ye be weary, grow weary, and faint in your mind. You know, we have to understand these things are going to be. We're going to go through. People are going to come against us. That's the opposite. It's a part of life. But he's saying for us not to get weary in it and faint in your mind. And a lot of times what we as people do, we get to thinking, we get to work on all the stuff we went through and why God haven't done this, and that's why we become weak in our walk with God, weak in our faith. Because now we don't believe he's going to do anything. Now we don't believe he's going to come through. But he is going to come through. He is going to come through. That's what he's going to do. He's come through. So we have to understand and believe that and accept the fact something must happen, you know, because that's part of life. That's part of life. And we have to understand that there are things that must be. But in spite of what we go through, we got to learn how to follow Christ, follow after him. Whatever way he take us, however he lead us, we got to learn to follow after him. If you want to reach the end of your destiny, you want to reach your place in Christ, it's following after him. No, it doesn't always seem like it's the place to go, it's a place to be, but we must follow after Christ. That's what we must do. We must follow after Christ. But it say, ye have not yet resisted or withstand, that word mean, unto blood, striving against sin. We complain and holler a lot, but we don't, we haven't strived and fought against so much before Jesus went through. We have not done that. We have to realize that instead of kicking and jumping and hollering, we need to study the Word of God. That's what we need to do. We need to study God and study the Word of God and understand that the life has already been laid out for us. You know, instead of us trying to tell him how we must go, what we must do, And which direction to take, you know. So we got to realize that we got to come to the realization that Christ is who he say he is. All God, and he don't need nobody else but us. I mean, you know, he made a way for each and every person for us to look, you know, to follow after him. You know, look unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what we need to do. But instead of that, we try to tell him which way to go, what to do, what we don't want to do, how we don't want to do. But we remember he is Christ all by himself, and he doesn't need anybody else, you know, to tell him what to do. We got to remember who he is. That's what we got to do, remember who he is. So we're going to, you know, I just want to exhort people and work on them to follow after him. That's what we need to do. Follow after him. Not after somebody else, not after man. Because like Paul was telling people, follow him as he followed Christ. And this is the same thing that a lot of us need to say. As the person follow Christ, you follow after them. But if they don't you don't follow them. Just give me a few minutes. I'm trying to do something here. Okay, let me see. Ye have not resisted to blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaking to you as to children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint from thou a rebuke of him. We're his children. And like I said, what he's going to do, he's going to chastise us. He's going to rebuke us. This is what he's going to do. And we have to realize it may come through the word, it may come through a leader, it may come through parents, it may come through any grown person, maybe on your job, wherever it is. It's all a part of growing in Christ. This is what it is, all a part of growing in Christ. And I read that again. And ye have forgotten, he was telling them, evidently they had forgotten the warning of either the encouragement that they had, which he said, speaking unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And so he's warning us and telling us, you know, we're not supposed to. A lot of time, I do know people, and being a leader myself, a lot of time you have to correct people with the word or whatever, and people get offended real quickly. And evidently, I say they don't be in the word. I know they're immature. They don't be in the word of God. And so this is what they do. But he tells us in his word, despise not by the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise it. But he said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth. So if he receives you as his child, that means he's going to correct you. He's going to punish us when we need punishing. This is what scriptures say. Because if he does not do this, he does not accept us. He does not accept us if he does not do that. But the Bible tells us, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. But what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Even your natural father, you know, they used to get on us, used to correct us. It's an immature, rebellious person who can't stand to be corrected. You know, and so basically this is why you probably go down go round and round the mill, you know, in the tests and trial, because you will come to a place, the Bible says, a pride comes for destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And you keep going around that mountain until you get tired of going around that mountain, and you throw up your hand and say, yes, Lord, I will obey. A lot of time I had said before I got saved, a lot of time I have said, you know, what I wouldn't do, what I wouldn't this, or what I wouldn't do, the other. I would say that. I said, but the Lord let me realize that there's a lot of things you may say what you won't do, you may say what you won't take, but when I get through allowing you to go through, you will become humble. And the Bible tells us that when you humble yourself before the hand of God, mighty hands of God, he said, I will exalt you in due time. And as long as I stay, you know, with my mind up in the air, you know, and I don't want to listen, I don't want to do anything, I'm going to still stay down like I'm crawling. You know, I think about Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, you know, how he was, how he ends up out there in the field, you know, crawling like an animal, you know, because he thought he was all of that in a battleship. You know, he was the king. You know, but we got to realize, without Christ, we are nothing. We are nobody because the breath in our body, he give it to us. He can take it any time he get ready. You know, people say, no, I don't think he. Yes, he will. The devil can't take your breath. He can help you destroy your body, but it takes God to take your breath. I hear a lot of time, I hear people say, you know, when people die, well, the devil did this and the devil did that. He helped them to destroy their body, but the breath come from God. And he's the only one who can take your breath. There's many people that have lived a long time and their body was all messed up, all whatever, but the breath was still in their body. When God got ready, he taken them home. We have to realize that the things that God takes us through, and he does it because he loves us. And he tells us in his word. You know, he chastised, and I'll read that again in a few minutes, but he said, those he loves, he corrects, he reproves, he rebukes them. He chastises them. He says that he may do it through the word. He may do it through a leader. He may do it through another person. He may do it if you got a job. He may have somebody on the job do it. But we don't never look at this as coming from the hand of God. But it is. Because there are attitude and action that we got. And if we don't learn how to humble ourselves on a job, then we will not be able to humble under the ministry of whatever God give us. And God would have people correcting, but in the daytime, just like in your natural children, children don't want to be corrected and parents don't want to correct them. So in the body of Christ, it's the same thing. You correct the person when they say something, you know, they get angry, get mad, but they're not studying the word of God. Because he said in the sixth verse of Hebrews 12:6, he said, but whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourge you, every son whom he received. Before he received you as his son, and this is women as well as men, because when the scriptures come out, it's not talking about gender in a sense. But he is going to correct you. And he's going to scrawl you and actually spank you and beat you because he loves you. He wants you to go the right direction. He does not want a child, no matter what age we are, how old we are, or whatever. He does not want a child that speaks and talks back to him and tell him what the is and they're going to do, or either to a leader. You know, so he will correct you, and a true leader, a real true leader, somebody to hold us to a leader, they would also correct you when you get out of hand. They would also do that. Because when you go out and you represent him and then you acting out there, acting up, it's going to reflect back on him and God sees it. But the seventh verse saying, this is what it says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? So if you at a place and you think that you shouldn't be chastened, you shouldn't be corrected, you really need to get on your knees and pray and repent and tell God you're sorry. But you're going to want to be a child. You don't want to be a rebellious child. This is for our good. Like I said, it doesn't matter about what age people are. Got to stop thinking about that. But we got to understand that he will chasten us. But he said, but if ye be without chastisement, this is what your words say, wherever all are partake of sharers and associate, then ye are bastards. A bastard is one of them that don't even belong to the kingdom of God. He don't accept you. He don't receive you. I don't care if we do, you know, say these sinners' prayers and all of that, but as long as we won't allow him to correct us and be a partaker of that, he said that he calls them bastards and not son. We've got to go back to the word of God. No, it don't sound pretty, don't sound good, don't sound anything like that, but the word of God is true. I had to humble myself down when God began to deal with me and take me through when he was, because he used to correct me a lot of time by not knowing the things of God and knowing the ways of God. And he had to lead us and things, you know, correcting me. But I didn't get angry and upset and get mad and get offended. I'm not saying it was always pleasant. It wasn't that. But I knew it was needed in order for me to learn the ways of God and learn about him and have the right kind of spirit to be able that he could put me over any nation or any place or wherever it is, and I would not go out there with a rebellious spirit and embarrass the kingdom of God. Because a lot of God's people, even today, they are an embarrassment to the kingdom of God. They really truly are. All you got to do is listen to them and look at them, even on YouTube and all that, and not on just that. They are so arrogant. They just so prideful, you know, that nobody can say anything to them. I can't correct them. And some of our children the same way. You start correcting them, they start talking back. And you wonder where to get it from. You know, they got a saying that said the apple don't fall too far from the tree. So we have to teach them, and any time God make you a leader, whether it's over, whether you're a pastor over people, or whether you got a ministry, or God got people up under you, or whatever he's given you to represent him, he requires you to lead it and teach your people how to be respectful to everyone. Because if not, it's a reflection on him. So we have to really realize this is a part of living the Bible. That's why a lot of people don't want to read the Bible, because they want to read the part only where he loves us and, you know, yes, he does. But his love is not human love. He loves with the agape love, unconditional love. He loves us, don't care how we are, but he don't love our action and attitude and our sin. He doesn't love that. Because we bring dishonor, just like a lot of time, you know, when some kids mind them to do it, but some kids, you know, the parents go out to the mall with them, especially when they live. Them children start to smack them, bring dishonor to them, and now well, you can't smack them out there in the public. But it's a lot of time in the kingdom of God. That's the way Christians do. You know, that's what they do. But anyway, he said, ninth verse said, furthermore, he said, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrects us and we gave them reverence. We gave them respect. We gave them respect. And a lot of us, especially, I'll say, not the latter-day kids, but a lot of, you know, at a time, they didn't talk back to their father, but they'll talk back to the Creator. Or the Creator's inner person, they talk back to the Creator. But we gave them reverence to say, shall we not much rather be in subjection or submission to the Father's Spirit and live? Put it in. If we do not become reverence in submission to the Spirit of God, that's even the inner person or whatever it is, the Bible automatically telling us, because we're not, we won't live. But if we do, we'll live. And that's not just talking about the breath life. You're talking about the Zoe life. You're talking about the Christ life, the highest element of life. Because that spirit in the person is ignoring that the Spirit of God, and that meant the spirit is already rebellious and disobedient. So he's going to correct us, just like our father of the flesh did. He's going to do that. Else he don't, he's going to reject you. Because he cannot let us go and live and transform our life to be a blessing for the master if he does not correct us. Because a lot of things we don't do right, a lot of things we've been taught is wrong. So he's going to come forth and he's going to correct it. If he don't correct it himself through the scripture, this is why I say a lot of times people don't want to read the scripture, because when you read that scripture, it will let you see you. It will let you see you, and it will correct you. He will direct you. He will instruct you. He said it's the manual for our living, for him. So he says in the 10th verse, for they verily, for a few days, to my our father, chasing us after their own pleasure. They had their own pleasure while they did it. He said, but he, Jesus Christ, for our profit, that we might be partaker of his holiness, share of his holiness. So what is he saying? If I don't let him correct me, if I don't let him chasten me, correct me, rebuke me, reprove me, then there's no way that I'm going to share in and be a partaker of his holiness. His being set apart. His being consecrated. Because it's not just saying it. It has to be a lifestyle. That's what it has to be, a lifestyle. So this is why he takes us through. This is why he corrects us. So we can become, you know, sharing his holy, because he's a holy God. He is a holy God. He is a holy God. That's what he is. You know, so we got to realize that and allow him to do what he needs to do in us. You know, that's the best thing to do is that. And none of us don't like to be spanked. I know I don't. But sometimes it's necessary with God. It's necessary with him to do that. Because a lot of times we be going the wrong way or saying the wrong thing, you know, and doing the wrong thing. We think it's just, just another thing. But there's nothing that hidden and wrong that we won't have to give an account of. We were given an account. Even when you repent and ask the Lord to forgive you, there's a consequence. Because at that moment, he could have been getting ready to bless you. And so, if I reacted ugly or whatever it is, I might miss that blessing. So, there are consequences. And the next time he correct me and I still, you know, act ugly or whatever it is, then the judgment of God falls. So, it's not just you saying nothing, you doing nothing, oh, it's okay, it's fine, it's just that and another. You know, that's not what it is. We have to be very careful what comes up out of our mouth. And I can say this because in the world, I'm a talker now, but I talk for Jesus. But in the world, I was a talker, a sharp tongue. But everything, he said, there's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. He said, there's no idle word to come out of our mouth. So I had to learn how, through the Holy Ghost, to teach me how not to be so, you know, so quick-tongued, especially in smaller people. I had to learn not to do that because I knew the consequence because I studied the word. So we have to be so very, very careful about a lot of things that we do. He said, now no chastening, but the present seem to be joyous. He letting us know it's not going to be joyous what I do when I correct you, when I work on. But he's telling us we need to accept it. He said, but grievous, cause grief. Nevertheless, after it, this is what comes after. This is the war. After it yielded the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, the one who allowed it to happen. So if I don't allow it to happen, I'm just going to use me. I don't allow him to correct me. I don't allow him to prove me. I get upset, mad, whatever it is, toss him off, whatever it is. He's saying, I will not profit and yield. It will not yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness in my life. Because this is what it takes for it to come a part of your life. Just like how to be clean, we got to take a bath. This is just like the bath for your life, the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So the correction, the rebuke, and reproof must come. However God's trying to come, you have to look at it when it's coming, even though it may come from a person that you wouldn't expect. But God will use anyone to speak through anyone to correct us. But we have to see it that way. We have to understand it that way. And sometimes people don't know why they do things. They don't know why they say things. Or why did I have to say that to them? That wasn't my business saying, but I said because the Holy Spirit had you saying because that person needed to be reproved, correct, because that's what his word said. He don't work to say just, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that. But he also tells us, I'm going to correct you when you're going the wrong way, when you're going somewhere I didn't tell you to go. I'm going to have you that uncomfortable feeling to let you know that it's not my will for you. And if you go head on, this is why a lot of time you've heard about people getting killed. And even though it wasn't the time for them to go, you know, God had worked for them to do. Because God most likely told them, don't go, don't this. And what people do, they tempt God. Well, I'm going to go and I'm just going to pray for him to protect me from the blessing. You're tempting God. And that is sin. And a lot of times that's what happened to people. But we have to learn how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Because when he comes like that, he comes to correct you. I don't care who else do it, but I don't want you to do it. And a lot of times what I've seen people do, well, I don't feel nothing out of it. I don't see why you can't do it. Well, he's not dealing with you, but he's dealing with me. He's dealing with the Spirit of God in me. So if he's not dealing with you, I'm not telling you not to do that. But he's telling me not to do it, so I'm not going to do it. I don't care if you do it. Whoever else do it. This is why each of us that has received the Holy Spirit within us, we have to learn to be led by that Holy Spirit in us. If it's anybody else's talking, doing whatever they're doing, if it's bearing witness in the Spirit, not in my head, I don't do the head thing anymore like that, if it's bearing witness in my spirit, then I know that whatever they're saying or doing is what God would have me to do or have me not to do. But that's him correcting. And don't always think that whenever God have a person correct you, they, as people say, it tends to my business. Used to tell people one time, you don't have any business. Because your business in the outside of God is wide open. And he will expose it any time he gets ready. Because I was told, you know, some time back, said God will never tell your business. And I found out that wasn't true. I found out that was a lie. Because God had said, told somebody something I had said to me and God privately. And God had said it to them, and they asked me about it we was in a meeting in the house. And they asked me, so God said, what did I mean about that? And I looked at them, because I had heard that he would never do that. And I know these people wasn't there. I know I hadn't said nothing to anyone. So that's why I say a lot of times, you know, just because you haven't heard something, just because you don't know about something, this is not what God does. This is not what he will say. And he doesn't always come like this religious figure, you know, talk about all this, you know, thus said the Lord, this, that, and another. A lot of times God will come down at your level of talking or how you talk or somebody else how they talk. He does not hardly nowadays come and say, but thus said the Lord. You have very few prophets do that. Thus said the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking. He does not have to announce himself. We just have to learn how to recognize his voice. And I think a lot of time, because a lot of time the person don't say, well, you know, the Lord said, the Lord told me, so people don't think it's God. They think it's the person. But it's by his spirit that we put to recognize it, by his spirit. And a lot of time with a lot of people, God speaks to them through them himself. I mean, his Holy Spirit speak through them. They when they open their mouth, it's his Spirit speaking. And he just using their mouth to, you know, speak some things, even to correct them, whatever it is. So we have to realize, go back to the Word and study the Word of God. And it let us know he does correct. And them he don't, he call them bastards. That's scripture. And we have to realize that whenever, you know, getting on us, or sometimes I know, like I say, with me, if he tell me to sell somebody something, I don't tell him I'm trying to play around with it because I just don't want to have to deal with what they got to say, this, that, and the other. He will not let me get no rest. I have to twist and turn, because they get so aggravated. And I have to throw up my hand and say, okay, Lord, I'll tell them whatever I got to face, whatever they got to say, I just have to go through that because I don't lack the spanking that he be giving me. Because he's telling me, I mean what I say. I gave it to you to do it. I gave it to you to say it. I already know how they're going to act. I already know what they're going to say. But that does not matter. Your obedience is the key. Your obedience is the key to my voice, not any other voice. But it say, but like I say, it say, yield the fruit, peaceful fruit of righteousness. There are some things in the scripture that if we don't do like the Bible said, we cannot walk in. You cannot pray it on you. Nobody else can't pray it on you. Cannot even confess it on you. But there are some things, for instance, like the peaceful fruit of righteousness. No, you got to go through and allow him to chasten you. Or sometimes, like people say, to spank you or whatever it is. That's just the way it is. And we have to ask for that. But also, the scriptures tell us, say, wherefore, lift up your hand, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight. This is exaltation to holiness. Holiness means to be consecrated and set apart. Okay? It doesn't mean wearing the long dresses and all this stuff. You know, I'm not saying that's the wrong whip there. But you're supposed to be different from the world, people. For your feet, let that which is lame be turned out of the way, but it let it rather be healed. Follow peace. And I'm going to stop here. Follow peace with all men. And holiness. Without no man shall see the Lord. I don't care how we do or what we do or whatever. We don't do the word. And we don't follow peace. And they said they have to follow peace with us. We have to follow peace with all men. I don't care who they is, what they look like, or whatever. He said, and holiness, consecrated and set apart. If we don't be different from the world people in every aspect, we cannot see the Lord. And I don't mean necessarily going to heaven, that either, but you know, he can show up in a person, and because he don't look right, don't dress right, a lot of times, a lot of us ignore him. But let him come in a three-piece suit with a hat on. I know that's a man of God. Not necessarily. But he wanted to exalt us to follow after Christ. Don't try to make Christ follow after us. And I just want to, you know, what's on each and every person tonight. Study the word of God and see what it's saying. Because people are leading people wrong because they are not studying the word. But study the word and know that everything we're going through, Jesus already went through it. And he went through it, he endured it, even the opposition of sinners and everything without complaining, without murmuring. Why me? Why this? So I just want to encourage each and every person tonight. I'm going to stop here so I can go ahead and take this call that we have on tonight, so we don't run out of time. So we thank God for what he has brought forth tonight. Okay. 251-342. Yes, ma'am.
This is Latrice from Bama.
From Bama. Praise God for Sister Latrice calling in from Alabama. The big A. The big A. So how can we help you tonight?
You can pray it, the Lord allows.
Okay, what had come back to me when I was talking earlier, you know, about the things, you know, you were telling about the shoulders and all that stuff that's kind of on that side and chest. And I had thought about it after we got off the phone. I said I probably should have went ahead on and prayed for that, too, because actually on my body, the same thing you was calling out, I was having that at that time. I don't feel it now, but we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. Lord, we just come before you right now. We thank you for your daughter that called in, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that no weapon formed against her is going to prosper. We take authority over every demon spirit. We cancel it right now. And, Father, I send forth the healing virtue into her body right now in the name of Jesus. Every part of it. We speak wholeness in the name of Jesus. We speak against infirmity. We break the power of it right now in the name of Jesus. Pain, I command you to leave every part of her body right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we just want to thank you right now because you said in your word that by your stripes she's already healed. So we claim healing tonight, God. We speak healing tonight, God. We don't really have to pray to you to heal because you've already done it. So we take authority over it right now in the name of Jesus. Every infirmity, every pain, every whatever it is not lined up with the word of God, it has to line up with the word of God right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we send it back to where it come from in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I even pray that even as she's going through for somebody else, we send healing to them tonight, God. We say, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. We speak healing and deliverance to them right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, whoever it may be, God, wherever it is, I ask you, Father, to send a healing angel to these people right now. Because I know there's still somebody somewhere that is probably going through the same thing. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I even thank you right now that I don't even feel it in my body right now. And I thank you for that, Father, and I pray for that. It don't come back. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're getting ready to do. Now I ask you to strengthen her, God, in her inner man, in the name of Jesus. I speak to her inner man right now to rise up in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to give her the joy of the Lord. Because the word of God said the joy of the Lord is her strength. And Lord, I speak that joy, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak it, Lord, even you've given her songs in her spirit. In the name of Jesus, that she begin to sing and praise you up out of her spirit, up out of her innermost part of her being, in the name of Jesus, because that is the joy of the Lord for her strength to go through, Father. In the name of Jesus, to reach that destiny, reach that blessing, to reach whatever it is that you have for her right now. And Lord, we just come against the confusion of the enemy. We break his power in the name of Jesus. We tell him to take his hell and go on somewhere else in the name of Jesus. That he cannot park there any longer. He cannot even hold conversation there any longer in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we speak a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Father, also to give her a visitation. And Lord, let that visitation be a thing that changed her to the place, Lord God, that Lord God, that the enemy won't even be able to take her back in the end of the thought patterns or anything that's come about. We thank you right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you hallelujah, glory to your name, God. Glory to your name, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we're going to tell the devil it's time for him to stop his wrestling and stop his mess and go head on about his business because nobody's going to pay him any attention. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, and we praise you and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to you. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus.
Hello.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
thank
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Usually, a lot of time with me, a lot of time a praise or something come up in my belly. And what I had learned to do, but get up and start trying to sing. I mean, I really don't care if the tune that good anymore, but try to sing and get it out of me. And when I usually do, a breakthrough, that blessing come in. But now, if that come on me and I decide just to lay on down and then don't do it, then I don't see that blessing that God intended was on the way. So a lot of time it come on me with you know, crying and praising the Lord and this whatever, but I get it up out of my spirit. I get it up out of my spirit. When I do, I can look the next day for some kind of blessing to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn to do that because nobody told me about that. I mean, I didn't know why that was coming on me and all that stuff, you know. But I had to learn when he did, I just started trying to praise the Lord. I don't know whether I heard him say praise him or not, but I just started doing and just kept on walking around and praising and crying and hallelujah and glory to God and whatever it is. And I realized, like I said, the next day, what I started noticing, I got a blessing from somewhere that next day. And I believe the Lord sometimes brings that on us, even though we may praise him otherwise. But for the breakthrough, for the breakthrough to come. And this is why the enemy loves Felicia called on the wrong number. What's called? But anyway, we have to realize, that God got different ways how he maneuvered with us, different ways how he maneuvered with us, and what's called. And so we praise him for that. I'm gonna what's going on her click on her minute. Hello, how you doing?
Hello, can you? Hello.
The enemy just keep messing with y'all with this number. Are you and Susan Latrice both? What's going on? But we gonna get it right after a while.
Yeah,
we probably don't have about three more minutes on here.
Oh.
But
okay.
If you want to, I don't know. I should have. If you want to, I can still call in with the free conference, and we can go in there and pray or whatever. So do you have time to do
that? Whatever you want. Whatever you want to do. I'm following you. I'm sorry.
Get on here late, and the enemy keep having you sort of missing, and like I say, been doing her like that too, but it's the enemy. But he defeated.
Amen.
He defeated. Ain't that right, Sister Latrice?
Amen.
He's defeated. he's defeated. But this is one thing I really want to encourage people to understand. Anytime you're going to do something great for God, the devil going to come with everything he got and try to keep him going forth. But you have to understand and learn that is the way he does, and that calls you to persevere, fight the good fight of faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. You don't get despondent. You don't get worried, wonder why, you know why. But let him know, Jesus already said on the cross, you got the victory. We got the victory. So this is what we have to do. We have to realize we got the victory on there. So we thank God, praise God for what he's doing. But like I said, I can, out of this, we got about 2 minutes. Anybody? Y'all want to say anything?
Not right. If you only got a few seconds to own, then I'll be dragging it on. So I don't want to. I'll end up getting cut off. So I don't want to say anything right now if it's getting ready to cut off.
Yeah, but we got 2 minutes. What about you, Sister Latrice?
I'm good, thank you.
You good? All right, y'all ain't got no. God ain't bless y'all with no big old lump sum of money today.
Not today, but I'm expecting.
Something encouraged me. Something encouraged me. Well, we're going to go ahead on and hang up, and I'm going to go ahead on and call in, and Latrice, if you want to, you call in too. I'm going to go ahead on and call in on the other.
That's going to be the other number that I was on at first?
Yeah, that's 774.
Let me pray for that. To get a prayer in and all that. Okay, I'll call right back on that other line then.
So to get the prayer in or whatever. All right, then.
Okay.
Love y'all and thank y'all. And I'm going to go ahead on and do.
Okay, all right.
Okay, then. Good night.
Good night.
Uh-huh.